time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with some live music. Here is Rest My Soul. It is from my first CD. This is called True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Rest my soul and God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Rest my soul and God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Satan tries, he tries to steal my joy. That's why I have to know my Bible, so I can counteract his schemes. My God is my mighty rock, and He is my refuge. Rest, oh, my soul, 'cause God is in control. Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Now Satan tries, he tries to steal my joy. That's why I have to know my Bible, so I can counteract his schemes. My God is my mighty rock, and He is my refuge. Rest, oh, my soul, 'cause God is in control. Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Rest my soul. Rest, rest. God is in control.
Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, and I have my good friend Vicki McMurray joining me here today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, our show, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, is a program of Love Ministries. Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Everyone, you can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And Vicki and I are welcoming a good friend of ours from church, Missy Payne. Welcome, Missy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Missy, you know, we before we get to taping the show, we always go over, you know, how we know everyone and I don't know how we got into each other's lives. So Missy sings in the choir.
Yes, she's got a great voice.
Yes, at our church. And her two daughters have joined us in our choir before. And we were just talking about Baylor and how she has such a beautiful voice and can sing beautiful harmonies. And and Vicki said she was standing next to her one time in choir and was like, oh, my goodness, she's so good.
She was so good. I'm sitting, I'm thinking, I'm the old woman next to this sweet little thing. And she just has this great voice. I do remember literally looking at her and just looking. She looked at me. She goes, what? I go, you've got a great voice.
Yeah,
I remember talking
good.
To her about it. It was just beautiful. So I'm happy to hear that she's pursuing it and having fun and working hard out in Nashville.
She is. She went to college in Nashville at Belmont. And after graduation, she's like, Mom, I'm staying. So she's been 2 years.
Good for her.
Yeah. There
I'm
going to
say big prayers
adulting,
for her.
Adulting, as she calls it.
Adulting.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's neat. That's really
that's
neat.
Great.
That's perfect. Well, Missy, again, thank you so much for being here. And we have a lot to talk about, a lot that we want to share with our listeners. But we would honestly like to open up with you just sharing more about yourself. And you've got the book, The Invisible Seven, and there's so much in your life. So let's just start with you just plain old sharing.
It's a little bit of a circus, isn't it? When you interview me, you get the whole package.
All good stuff.
That's
all
good
stuff.
Where do you want to go? It's great. Well, obviously, everything I do has energy behind it, and I believe that the energy that I've been given is a God-given talent, because you have to have it. My heart is for people. My heart is for helping people, and I've now gone into helping people help people.
All right.
So it's more a facilitating role than before, which I feel like I can empower, especially young women. That's really my passion.
I
owned a competitive cheerleading studio and coached cheerleading. Well, I started in 1990, and I just sold it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And someone asked me at one point, oh, well, great. So where'd you cheer in college? I said, I was never a cheerleader. The Lord.
No way.
Oh, yeah. The Lord, like, has such a sense of humor because it became a ministry for me. It was just a way to get to their heart.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I can count to 8, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
I got that part. And then I just started asking questions, and it really, truly opened a door for an amazing place for young girls to flip and flop and then and then to do life with them.
Yeah.
So my background as a teacher and a coach has really you know, helped me. I was a single mom most of my adult life. I'm still a single mom today, but that truly watching my girls and wanting to give them a platform to grow up in an environment that was really just, you know, for the kingdom. And that's really what it was a ministry. And it, you know, there was twists and turns and building changes and things like that as we do in small business.
Yes.
But I think for the most part, it's interesting. I'm now seeing some girls that I met when they were in middle school who are now grown-ups. I mean, 30-year-olds who are married with babies and just incredible lives.
Yes, yes.
Some of them go to our church, which
that's
is even
right.
crazier.
That's
yes,
neat.
Yes.
Wait, you were one of my babies.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's kind of the background of where I came from, the teaching. And my mom says, no, go backwards even further. Like when I was apparently in third, fourth grade, I was doing camps on my own block, and I was directing shows on my front porch.
Wow.
And the whole neighborhood would come and sit in the front yard and watch as I'm directing. And I was directing kids that were older than me. My mom, I say, Mom, why'd they listen to me? This is hilarious. She goes, you were very assertive, and you wouldn't take no for an answer. I was like, oh, yeah, I still do that.
Yes. But it's benefited you with the profession. And
it really has. It really has. I'm bossy, but, you know, when you use your gifts in a positive
That's
sense.
That's right.
Yes.
Coaching
yes.
is bossy.
Yes.
And so I had this loud, boisterous singing voice, and it worked well on the 5, 6, 7, 8 mat.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been to one of your shows, the one that was on SMU's campus.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So very talented young people on the show. Baylor was actually in that
Baylor
show.
Baylor was in that show.
Cheering, dancing.
Singing.
Singing, yeah. Acting.
That was sort of a Cirque de Missy.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you mean
it was
show,
a really
though?
Good
That's
show.
What I'm confused.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, my background is musical theater.
But another great quality for what you're doing.
You're
this
so
is great.
Sweet. I feel like that was, yes, I feel like that, you know, we're given gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I feel like we're born with amazing gifts.
Right.
I'm not sure that we all know specifically what those are
right.
until we go through experiences of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord will give you nuggets along the way. And then obviously doors will slam shut
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I call it like stepping on like lily pads
mm-hmm.
and you're in water. And so you don't really know if that lily pad's going to truly sink. And
right.
so you want to get to the bigger ground, which is, you know, and I think that happens as experiences go.
Mm-hmm.
So my musical theater, that was my major in college.
Ah,
and so that's what I graduated with.
Very good.
So the cheer industry came swooping in sort of as literally like a joke. I wanted to teach musical theater. I was currently living in Colorado. And
okay.
the principal said, well, it's a part-time job. We don't really have that open right now. Why don't you coach for a year and we'll get your foot in the door? I said, I'm a water skier from Texas. What am I coaching? And he said, well, the only spot open is cheerleading. I was like, nope, no way, not doing it. He goes, well, you go home and sleep on it.
Right.
And I prayed and thought and slept and, okay, fine. And there was this sort of nudge, right? It's like one
right,
of those where you're
right.
going, what?
Right, right.
Big bows and bouncing
right.
around. I mean, literally, I made
That's
fun of those
so
girls
right.
in high school.
Right.
I'm
right.
sorry, I did. And so, next thing you know, I'm like in the throes. That's why the Lord has a sense of humor, because it was great. So
mm-hmm.
I got my first job, and then I got the teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back to Texas and got a teaching job here pretty quickly. And when you are on your resume, it says you've coached cheerleading.
Yes, yes. They're going to grab
you. An administrator sweeps
mm-hmm.
you up, and you
yes.
get paid absolutely nothing
right.
to
right.
do 100
right.
million hours worth of work.
Right, right.
But what I, what I found out about it was, is wow, what a way to get to the heart of a young woman
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you can still
yes.
you can coach them, but
mm-hmm.
you can coach in their heart.
Yes.
And so
mm-hmm.
anyway,
yeah.
that was the twist into that.
Yes.
That's
so the musical
funny.
Theater piece in the summertime, as I got swooped into the cheer world, the unfortunate for me was the stage piece kind of got swept under the rug. And
Aww.
So every summer I'd be like, I got to do something. So I would do like a camp.
Good.
Okay.
Called Kids Live, and we would do a performance. So I had the performance piece under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that show you saw was my first go at sort of nonprofit raising money for kids kind of thing event. So
How
yes.
neat.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's really
yeah.
neat.
And then it's blossomed.
It has.
You have blossomed.
Wow.
Yeah, it has blossomed. And another thing that I don't know if everyone knows about you is that you and Baylor, actually, right, were on Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I just found that out a few weeks ago. I did not know that.
Yes.
And Carla was mentioning you were going to be on, and I'm like, wait, Missy that sings in the choir was on at Baylor?
Yes.
I just
Well, let me issue a disclaimer.
Okay.
So I was not a huge fan of reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
I'm
not really a fan of TV anyway. Like,
okay.
I just don't
right.
really
right.
watch that noise. But we got a message on Facebook, and it was actually from the cheer world. It always goes
okay.
back to my cheer
yes.
industry. I mean, those people are wonderful. But it was looking for a mother-daughter duo
okay.
for CBS Survivor, mom in her 40s, daughter in her 20s, and there was criteria. And so I sent it to Baylor. She was in college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you think? She said, let's do this. And I said, Baylor, you don't even like to go camping.
Right.
So we got, Oops. I got a twist of an arm to send in a video, and she did too. And I never thought in a million years, once again, like you're looking going, wait, what is this really supposed to happen?
Right.
So we got flown out to LA pretty quickly for this final round. And when you're there, you are with the people that you're going to end up playing with, but you don't get to speak to anyone. It's this very strange thing because they like to keep the integrity of the game
okay.
already.
Right.
But as the week went on, the group got smaller and smaller and smaller. And I kept looking around, and you could tell who was like mother, daughter. Or
mm-hmm.
And so I knew we were beating them out. And
mm-hmm.
so the group's getting smaller. And by the end of the week, you're going to the big interview, which is in front of the producers. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in front of Jeff Probst.
Wow.
And he is the host of the show.
Yes.
And Mark Burnett, big
mm-hmm.
producer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at Baylor and go, we're about to get on this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm. What do we do now? So, mm-hmm. yeah, Mom, we are great. And I literally came home and had like 6 weeks to figure out how I was leaving town for seven.
Right.
Oh, 7
literally
weeks.
Disappearing for seven.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can't talk to anybody.
You become a liar pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest compliment, and when we get to my book in a little bit, we'll talk about it because I talk about it in the book.
Okay.
There's a chapter on integrity. And when I got home, the greatest compliment I got was from my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Navy, and he's just a great man. And he said, you made it to the top three in mm-hmm. probably one of the most cutthroat,
right.
grueling reality TV shows
right.
without jeopardizing your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I thought, wow, that's really huge.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there was a few cuss words off camera, Johnny, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was hard.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine.
Talk about a test of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a 39-day game. They added a day for us, so we were there 40. It was very much like Jesus in the wilderness for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of
yes.
cutthroat, isn't it? I must not have seen your season. I think I watched when it first started. I know I did. Just because I thought it was an interesting way to do reality TV.
Yeah.
But I know that they're not very nice in there sometimes.
I say this when I speak to kids. I open with, picture this. You're stuck in an elevator with 18 people mm-hmm. that you don't know and you probably would never really want to know mm-hmm. or hang out with outside mm-hmm. of this elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stuck for 39, 40 days.
Yeah.
People smell bad.
Right.
They're going to the bathroom next to you.
Right.
Like, everybody's angry, but they have one goal. Everybody just wants to open the doors. And so
yes.
there's this like backstabbing, mm-hmm. eyeball scratching mm-hmm. to get to this $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, that was never my agenda. I mean, mm-hmm. we had to say that, they said, but truly, I was there for my daughter and I thinking, oh, this would be a great experience. Never in a million years did I think this is going to be, I just wasn't prepared for the social media and
right.
kind of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a lot of backlash. I did really have a pretty good edit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we were the mother-daughter duo that we were the only pair. It was a couple seasons. So
okay.
there was father-son and
okay.
brothers.
Okay.
We made it further than anybody else in the game. So
okay.
she got fifth and got voted out, and then I made it to the very end.
Right.
So it was, but it was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rough.
I can't even imagine.
So when she got voted out, but you were still there. So where does she go?
So they take you, the first about 10 that get voted off, because let's say there's like 20 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 10 get voted off and they get taken to another remote place. You don't get to go home. I mean,
oh,
you have no TVs, no
wow.
computers, no phones, no connection to the outside world, no matter if you get voted off on day one or you make it to the end.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
so
you really don't want to be voted off
really
day
be,
one.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first 10 got like some massages and some spa treatments. But
okay.
the next group then gets taken off one by one to, you know, a holding house, a very nice house.
I'm right, not gonna, right,
right,
know,
right.
We
right.
were in Nicaragua,
right.
so every, you know, they give a different place. But obviously you want to stay in the game. But
yes.
by the time I made it to the end, I mean, and your mind is so messed up too because
mm-hmm.
everybody lies.
Yeah.
I even said that at one point. They didn't air it, but I go, they need to change the name of this show. Everybody lies. I mean, truly. No one told the truth. And the gift for me was I did have my daughter who I knew was going to at least tell me the truth.
Right.
Even if she was going to vote me out.
Right.
Which,
right.
by the way, she said in her opening interview, I said, Baylor, you don't want to vote me out. Like, if one of us wins, we both win, honey. Like,
right.
Right. You want me with you.
She didn't understand that.
That's funny.
She wanted to vote me out.
Oh, that is so funny.
So.
Oh, that sounds like a typical mother-daughter
yeah, right.
scenario,
right.
just
right,
not
right.
in Nicaragua.
On Survivor
in the
or not, yes.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to say I brought home some amazing gifts
okay.
from that. I know I said earlier that I really did feel like 40 days in the wilderness, and there was there literally were days where you weren't doing anything, but
mm-hmm.
the cameras are rolling. You know,
right.
the show is real, by the way.
Okay.
But we would watch the sunrise and watch the sunset.
That was your day.
Yeah. And so you had a lot of time. And
mm-hmm.
I use that as quiet time. And I'd be like, okay, Lord, what exactly do you want me to do from this?
Right.
And you have no pen or paper either. So.
Oh, wow.
Right. But, I mean, you're not eating. There's no food. You're you're starving to death.
She's like, so you're not eating.
You're fasting for, like, I lost 23 pounds. Yes.
Wow.
I was pretty grossly skinny. But more importantly, I came back and literally the first thing I asked for was a pen and paper. And I started writing.
Right. Yes.
Writing. And I didn't want to forget, but I also had so many great moments of truth for me too, for my life.
Yes.
And when I came back, I really did use it as a platform in a positive fashion. Mm-hmm. And I leveraged my status.
Yes.
I did. Yes. To do an incredible nonprofit for teenagers called Cheer for Your Life.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I took my old cheerleading name.
Yes.
And I turned it into 501c3 and I sold my cheerleading company and said, you got to pick a new name.
Okay.
And basically what we do is we help fund teenagers across the nation now to pay for their activity of choice. So it's got to be outside of school. Mm-hmm. We don't pay for education or medicine. Mm-hmm. Which someone goes, that's terrible. I go, no. Everybody else does.
Right.
The deal is that
this is a niche. This is
a niche. And I think teenagers truly need to be kept in the fairway. Mm-hmm. And the more we give them to do, the better. So we take extraordinarily talented teenagers and we get them from where they think that they're done and we take them to this next level. So for instance, I've got a singer who lives in Dallas and single mom who's they really do have a financial issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we paid for her voice lessons. We've actually carried her all the way through high school. She's just graduated.
Aww, okay.
So it's been really neat.
Yes.
But you go from that perspective to, I have a ski racer in Colorado.
Okay.
Who parents are married. They work very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Ski racing is a rich kid sport.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they are not. And he just qualified for the U.S. ski team.
Oh,
and
called,
left me a voice message and said, I just want you to know, there's no way I could be here without Cheer for Your Life's help.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
So we've paid for training and equipment and,
yes.
and scholarshiped, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
About 10 to 12 teens a year. And like I said, some will stay with us. And that came from sitting on that island. Not all of Survivor was the reason Cheer for Your Life started, because like I said earlier, I've got this coaching and teaching background.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be able to do more than what I was already doing, I felt like, and reach a different, just expand, broaden my territory.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to get that a little bit bigger. So we went into the athletic field and performing arts, and it's really neat. It's a blast for me.
Yeah.
Well, you're just, I mean, I think it would be so much fun because you're supporting what kids want to do and love. To me, there's almost nothing better. And I get it. There are so many nonprofits out there that are supporting medicine and education, which are needed and you know, grateful that they do that. But it is a niche that you don't hear about or see. And there are so many kids that, you know, in our little community, a mom was out there selling tamales to anybody that would buy them because her daughter loves dance team.
Right.
And it's $600-$700 with all the gear.
Right.
Oh.
And, you know, freshman
everybody
in high school.
Knows how much money it takes for your kids to do
something,
the things that they're so passionate about.
Yeah. And you want to support them. I mean, any mom and dad, you know, anywhere in the world wants to do that for their kids. So that is
exciting,
this is
wonderful. Missy. You're so sweet. One of the things I try to obviously empower those kids too. So the 10 or 12 that we have, they become my family.
Yes.
I follow them around
with
a video camera.
Yes.
You know, I hold them accountable. They show up to help fundraise for the different things I need. But I feel like that the main message that I give them is be humble.
Mm-hmm.
So ask for help.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because that's the other thing too, is if you don't put it out there, when your pride gets in the way, you're not humble.
Right.
So be humble. Have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because shame is a terrible thing, and that's one of the things I've had to overcome, too, and the Lord worked on that with me. But that's really what I share with them is have no shame of where you came from or the color of your skin or your socioeconomic background, any of that. You've been given this gift, and let's go for it.
Yes.
You know, we'll just take you from here. Let's leap and let's go.
Right, right.
And never give up.
Yeah.
Never
that's
give
my
up.
Third.
That's wonderful.
You know, I just – and I do feel like that they'll all live by that now.
Yes.
And I have a little girl who's gonna rising senior who came and sang at a fashion show that was a benefit for us a few weeks ago. And she said, when I first met Missy as a freshman in high school, and she came in and like pulled me up to sing. And she said, actually, I really had not been in front of a group until Cheer for Your Life. And she's given me so many opportunities. And now that kid's in the recording studio. That kid is singing in front of her church of hundreds of, you know, people that she wouldn't have done before.
Yes.
So I love that too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just hear, here's a check, we'll pay for your equipment.
Right.
It's no. Let me come alongside you and help you get to the next level.
That is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful. Well, Missy, we need to take a break and then we'll get jump right into your book and these principles that I know we want to share with everyone. So we will be right back.
It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Harlan Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with some live music. Here is Rest My Soul. It is from my first CD that's called True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Satan tries, he tries to steal my joy. That's why I have to know my Bible, so I can counteract his schemes. My God is my mighty rock, and He is my soul, 'cause God is in control. Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Now Satan tries, he tries to steal my joy. That's why I have to know my Bible, so I can counteract his schemes. My God is my mighty rock, and He is my refuge. Rest, oh my soul, 'cause God is in control. Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. Rest my soul, rest. God is in control. Rest my soul.
My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my good friend Vicki McMurray joining me here today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, our show, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, is a program of Love Ministries. Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Everyone, you can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And Vicki and I are welcoming a good friend of ours from church, Missy Payne. Welcome, Missy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Missy, you know, before we get to taping the show, we always go over, you know, how we know everyone and I don't know how we got into each other's lives. So Missy sings in the choir.
Yes, she's got a great voice.
Yes, at our church. And her two daughters have joined us in our choir before. And we were just talking about Baylor and how she has such a beautiful voice and can sing beautiful harmonies. And and Vicki said she was standing next to her one time in choir and was like, oh, my goodness, she's so good.
She was so good. I'm sitting, I'm thinking, I'm the old woman next to this sweet little thing. And she just has this great voice. I do remember literally looking at her and just looking. She looked at me. She goes, what? I go, you've got a great voice.
Yeah,
I remember talking
to
her about it. It was just beautiful. So I'm happy to hear that she's pursuing it and having fun and working hard out in Nashville.
She is. She went to college in Nashville at Belmont. And after graduation, she's like, Mom, I'm staying. So she's been 2 years.
Good for her.
Yeah. There,
I'm going to say big prayers for
adulting,
her.
Adulting, as she calls
it. Adulting.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's neat. That's really
that's
neat.
That's great.
So. That's perfect. Well, Missy, again, thank you so much for being here. And we have a lot to talk about, a lot that we want to share with our listeners. But we would honestly like to open up with you just sharing more about yourself. And you've got the book, The Invisible Seven, and there's so much in your life. So let's just start with you just plain old sharing.
It's a little bit of a circus, isn't it? When you interview me, you get the whole package.
All good stuff.
That's
all
good.
Good stuff.
Where do you want to go? It's great. Well, obviously, everything I do has energy behind it. And I believe that the energy that I've been given is a God-given talent because you have to have it. My heart is for people. My heart is for helping people. Mm-hmm. And I've now gone into helping people help people.
All right.
So it's more of a facilitating role than before, which I feel like I can empower, especially young women. Mm. That's really my passion.
Yes.
I owned a competitive cheerleading studio and coached cheerleading. Well, I started in 1990, and I just sold it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And someone asked me at one point, oh, well, great. So where'd you cheer in college? I said, I was never a cheerleader. The Lord.
No way.
Oh, yeah. The Lord, like, has such a sense of humor because it became a ministry for me. It was just a way to get to their heart.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I can count to 8, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
I got that part. And then I just started asking questions, and it really, truly opened a door for an amazing place for young girls to flip and flop and then to do life with them.
Yeah.
So my background as a teacher and a coach has really, helped me. I was a single mom most of my adult life. I'm still a single mom today, but that truly watching my girls and wanting to give them a platform to grow up in an environment that was really just, for the kingdom. And that's really what it was a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it, there was twists and turns and building changes and things like that as we do in small business.
Yes.
But I think for the most part, it's interesting. I'm now seeing some girls that I met when they were in middle school who are now grown-ups. I mean, 30-year-olds who are married with babies and just incredible lives.
Yes, yes.
Some of them go to our church, which
that's
is even crazier.
That's
like,
wait, you were one of my babies.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's kind of the background of where I came from, the teaching. Mm-hmm. And my mom says, no, go backwards even further. Like when I was apparently in fourth third, fourth grade, mm-hmm. I was doing camps on my own block, and I was directing shows on my front porch.
Wow.
And the whole neighborhood would come and sit in the front yard and watch as I'm directing. And I was directing kids that were older than me. My mom, yes. I'd say, Mom, why'd they listen to me? This is hilarious. She goes, you were very assertive, and you wouldn't take no for an answer. I was like, oh, yeah, I still do that.
Yes. But it's benefited you with a yes. profession. And
it really has. It really has. I'm bossy. But, you know, when you use your gifts in a positive
that's
sense,
right.
yes.
coaching
yes.
is bossy.
Right.
And
yes.
so I
yes.
had this loud, boisterous singing voice, and it worked well on
yeah.
the 5, 6, 7, 8 mat.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And, you know,
it.
I've been to one of your shows, the one that was on SMU's campus.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And yes, yes. So very talented young people. On the show. Baylor was actually in that
Baylor
show.
Baylor was in that show.
Cheering, dancing.
Singing.
Yeah. Acting.
That was sort of a Cirque de Missy.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you mean
it
show,
was a really
though?
Good
That's
show.
What I'm confused.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, my background is musical theater.
Okay. But another great quality for what you're doing.
You're
this
so
is great.
Sweet. I feel like that was, yes, I feel like that, you know, we're given gifts,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like we're born with amazing gifts.
Right.
I'm not sure that we all know specifically what those are
right.
until we go through experiences of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord will give you nuggets along the way, and then obviously doors will slam shut
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I call it like stepping on like lily pads,
mm-hmm.
and you're in water. And so you don't really know if that lily pad's going to truly sink. And
right.
so you want to get to the bigger ground, which is, you know, and I think that happens as experiences go.
Mm-hmm.
So my musical theater, that was my major in college.
Ah,
and so that's what I graduated with.
Very good.
So the cheer industry came swooping in sort of as literally like a joke. I wanted to teach musical theater. I was currently living in Colorado. And
okay.
the principal said, well, it's a part-time job. We don't really have that open right now. Why don't you coach for a year and we'll get your foot in the door? I said, I'm a water skier from Texas. What am I coaching? And he said, well, the only spot open is cheerleading. I was like, nope, no way, not doing it. He goes, well, you go home and sleep on it.
Right.
And I prayed and thought and slept and, okay, fine. And there was this sort of nudge, right? It's like one
right,
of those where you're
right.
going, what?
Right, right.
Big bows and bouncing
right.
around. I mean, literally, I made
That's
fun of those
so
girls
funny.
In high school.
Right, right.
Sorry, I did. And so, next thing you know, I'm like in the throes. That's why the Lord has a sense of humor, because it was great. So
mm-hmm.
I got my first job, and then I got the teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back to Texas and got a teaching job here pretty quickly. And when you are on your resume, it says you've coached cheerleading.
Yes. They're going to grab
you. An administrator sweeps
mm.
you up and you
yes.
get paid absolutely nothing
right.
to
right.
do 100
right.
million hours worth of work.
Right, right.
But what I, what I found out about it was, is wow, what a way to get to the heart of a young woman
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you can still
yes.
you can coach them, but
mm-hmm.
you can coach in their heart.
Yes.
And so anyway,
yeah.
that was the twist into that.
Yes.
That's
so the musical
funny.
Theater piece in the summertime, as I got swooped into the cheer world, the unfortunate for me was the stage piece kind of got swept under the rug. And
Aww.
So every summer I'd be like, I got to do something. So I would do like a camp.
Good.
Okay.
Called Kids Live, and we would do a performance. So I had the performance piece under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that show you saw was my first go at sort of nonprofit raising money for kids kind of thing event. So
How
yes.
neat.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's really
yeah.
neat.
And then it's blossomed.
It has.
You have
blossomed. Wow.
Yeah, it has blossomed. And another thing that I don't know if everyone knows about you is that you and Baylor, actually, right, were on Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I just found that out a few weeks ago. I did not know that.
Yes.
And Carla was mentioning you were going to be on, and I'm like, wait, Missy that sings in the choir was on at Baylor?
Yes.
Well, let me issue a disclaimer.
Okay.
So I was not a huge fan of reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
I must
I'm
have
not,
missed you.
I'm not really a fan
a
of TV anyway. Like,
okay.
I just don't
right.
really
right.
watch that noise. But we got a message on Facebook, and it was actually from the cheer world. It always
okay.
goes back to my cheer
yes.
industry. I mean, those people are wonderful. But it was looking for a mother-daughter duo
okay.
for CBS Survivor, mom in her 40s, daughter in her 20s, and there was criteria. And so I sent it to Baylor. She was in college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you think? She said, let's do this. And I said, Baylor, you don't even like to go camping.
Right.
So we got, I got a twist of an arm to send in a video, and she did too. And I never thought in a million years, once again, like you're looking going, wait, what is this really supposed to happen?
Right.
So we got flown out to LA pretty quickly for this final round. And when you're there, you are with the people that you're going to end up playing with, but you don't get to speak to anyone. It's this very strange thing because they like to keep the integrity of the game already.
Right.
But as the week went on, the group got smaller and smaller and smaller, and I kept looking around, and you could tell who was like mother, daughter, or and so I knew we were beating them out. And so the group's getting smaller, and by the end of the week, you're going to the big interview, which is in front of the producers. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in front of Jeff Probst. And he is the host of the show.
Yes.
And Mark Burnett, big producer.
And
I looked at Baylor and go, we're about to get on this
show. Yeah, this is it.
What do we do now? So, yeah, Mom, we are great. And I literally came home and had like 6 weeks to figure out how I was leaving town for seven.
Right.
Oh, 7 weeks.
Literally disappearing for seven.
Right. I mean, can't talk to anybody.
You become a liar pretty quickly. And that was hard for me. You know, the greatest compliment and when we get to my book in a little bit, we'll talk about it because I talk about it in the book.
Okay.
There's a chapter on integrity. And when I got home, the greatest compliment I got was from my brother. And he was in the Navy, and he's very – he's just a great man. And he said, you made it to the top three in probably one of the most cutthroat, grueling reality TV shows without jeopardizing your integrity. And I thought, wow, that's really huge. I said, there was a few cuss words off camera, Johnny. I'm not going to lie. But it was hard.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, can only imagine.
Talk about a test of your faith. And, I mean, it's a 39-day game. They added a day for us, so we were there 40. It was very much like Jesus in the wilderness for me.
It's kind of cutthroat, isn't it?
It's
I must not have seen your season. I think I watched when it first started. I know I did. Just because I thought it was an interesting way to do reality TV. But I know that they're not very nice in there sometimes.
I say this when I speak to kids. I open with, picture this. You're stuck in an elevator with 18 people that you don't know and you probably would never really want to know or hang out with outside of this elevator. And you're stuck for 39, 40 days.
Yeah.
People smell bad. They're going to the bathroom next to you. Like, everybody's angry, but they have one goal. Everybody just wants to open the doors. And so there's this like backstabbing, eyeball scratching to get to this $1 million. And quite frankly, that was never my agenda. I mean, we had to say that, they said, but truly, I was there for my daughter and I thinking, oh, this would be a great experience. Never in a million years did I think this is going to be, I don't know what I just wasn't prepared for the social media and kind of that. I didn't get a lot of backlash. I did really have a pretty good edit, to be honest. And we were the mother-daughter duo that we were the only pair. It was a couple seasons. So there was father-son and brothers. We made it further than anybody else in the game. So she got fifth and got voted out, and then I made it to the very end. So it was, but it was rough. I mean, it was rough.
I can't even imagine.
So when she got voted out, did but you were still there. So where does she go?
So they take you, the first about 10 that get voted off, because let's say there's like 20 in the game. So the first 10 get voted off and they get taken to another remote place. You don't get to go home. I mean, you have no TVs, no computers, no phones, no connection to the outside world, no matter if you get voted off on day one or you make it to the end.
Wow, so you really don't want to be voted off day one.
I mean, I think the first 10 got like some massages and some spa treatments. But the next group then gets taken off one by one to, you know, a holding house, a very nice house.
Right,
were in Nicaragua, so everywhere, you know, they give a different place. But obviously you want to stay in the game. But by the time I made it to the end, I mean, and your mind is so messed up too because everybody lies. I even think I even said that at one point. They didn't air it, but I go, they need to change the name of this show. Everybody lies. I mean, truly. Because no, I mean, no one told the truth. And the gift for me was I did have my daughter who I knew was going to at least tell me the truth.
Right.
Even if she was going to vote me out.
Right.
Which, by the way, she said in her opening interview, I said, Baylor, you don't want to vote me out. Like, if one of us wins, we both win, honey. Like,
Right. You want me with you.
She didn't understand that.
That's funny.
She wanted to vote me out.
Oh, that is so funny. So. Well, that sounds like a typical mother-daughter
scenario,
just not in Nicaragua.
On Survivor
in the
or not. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay.
Well, I was just going to say I brought home some amazing gifts.
Okay.
From that. I know I said earlier that I really did feel like 40 days in the wilderness, and there was there literally were days where you weren't doing anything, but mm-hmm. the cameras are rolling. You know, right. the show is real, by the way.
Okay.
But we would watch the sunrise and watch the sunset.
That was your day.
Yeah. And so you had a lot of time. And mm-hmm. I use that as quiet time. And I'd be like, okay, Lord, what exactly do you want me to do from this?
Right.
And you have no pen or paper either. So.
Oh, wow.
Right. But, I mean, you're not eating. There's no food. You're starving to death.
Seems like so you're not eating.
You're fasting for, like, I lost 23 pounds. Yes.
Wow.
I was pretty grossly skinny. But more importantly, I came back, and literally the first thing I asked for was a pen and paper. And I mm-hmm. started writing.
Right, yes.
Writing. And I didn't want to forget. But I also had so many great moments of truth for me, too, for my life.
Yes.
And when I came back, I really did use it as a platform in a positive fashion, mm-hmm. and I leveraged my status.
Yes,
I did to do an incredible nonprofit for teenagers mm-hmm. called Cheer for Your Life.
Okay, mm-hmm.
so I took my old cheerleading name,
yes,
and I turned it into 501c3, and I sold my cheerleading company and said, "You got to pick a new name."
Okay,
and basically, what we do is we help fund teenagers across the nation now to pay for their activity of choice. So it's got to be outside of school. Mm-hmm. We don't pay for education or medicine, mm-hmm. which someone goes, that's terrible. I go, no. Everybody else does.
Right.
The
right.
deal is right. that...
This is a niche. This is...
Yeah, it is a niche. And mm-hmm. I think teenagers truly need to be kept in the fairway. Mm-hmm. And the more we give them to do, the better. So we take extraordinarily talented teenagers mm-hmm. and we get them from where they think that they're done. And we take them to this next level. So, for instance, I've got a singer who lives in Dallas and single mom who's, you know, they really do have a financial issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we paid for her voice lessons. We've actually carried her all the way through high school. She's just graduated.
Aww, okay.
So it's been really neat.
Yes.
But you go from that perspective to I have a ski racer in Colorado who parents are married. They work very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Ski racing is a rich kid sport.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they are not. And he just qualified for the U.S. ski team.
Oh,
and
wow.
Called, yeah,
oh,
left me a
exciting.
Voice message and said, I just want you to know there's no way I could be here without Cheer for Your Life's help.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
So we've paid for training and equipment and,
yes.
and scholarshiped, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
About 10 to 12 teens a year. And like I said, some will stay with us. And that came from sitting on that island. Not all of Survivor was mm-hmm. the reason Cheer for Your Life started, because like I said earlier, I've got this coaching and teaching mm-hmm. background. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be able to do more than what I was already doing, I felt like, mm-hmm. and reach a different, just expand,
right.
broaden my territory.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I wanted to get that a little bit bigger. So we went into the athletic field and performing arts, and it's really neat. It's a blast for me.
Yeah.
Well, you're just, I mean, I think it would be so much fun because you're supporting what kids want to do and love. To me, there's almost nothing better. And I get it. There are so many nonprofits out there that are supporting medicine and education, which are needed and you know, grateful that they do that. But it is a niche that you don't hear about or see. And there are so many kids that, you know, in our little community, a mom was out there selling tamales to anybody that would buy them because her
exactly.
daughter loves dance team.
Right.
And it's $600-$700 with all the gear.
Right.
Oh.
And, you know, freshman
everybody
in high school.
Everybody knows how much money it takes for your kids to do
something,
the things that they're so passionate
right.
about.
Yeah. And you want to support them. I mean, any mom and dad, you know, anywhere
exactly.
in the world wants to do that
exactly.
for their kids. So
yeah.
that is
well,
exciting,
this is wonderful.
Missy.
You're so sweet. One of the things I try to obviously empower those kids too. So the 10 or 12 that we have, they become my family.
Yes.
I follow them around
sure.
the video camera.
Yes.
You know, I hold them accountable. They show up to help fundraise for the different things I need. But
mm-hmm.
I feel like that the main message that I give them is be humble.
Mm-hmm.
So ask for help.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because that's the other thing too. So if you don't put it out there,
right.
when your pride gets in the way, you're not humble.
Right.
So be humble. Have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
because shame is a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've had to overcome, too. Mm-hmm. And the Lord worked on that with me. But that's really what I share with them is have no shame of where you came from or the color of your skin or your socioeconomic background, any of that. Mm-hmm. You've been given this gift.
Yes.
And let's go for it.
Yes.
You know, we'll just take you from here. Let's leap and let's go.
Right, right.
And never give up.
Yeah.
Give that's up. My third.
That's wonderful.
You know, I just – and I do feel like that they all – they'll all live by that now.
Yes.
And I have a little girl who's gonna rising senior who came and sang at a fashion show that was a benefit for us a few weeks ago. And she said, when I first met Missy as a freshman in high school, and she came in and like pulled me up to sing. And she said, actually, I really had not been in front of a group until Cheer for Your Life. And she's given me so many opportunities. And now that kid's in the recording studio. That kid is singing in front of her church of hundreds of, you know, people that she wouldn't have done before.
Yes.
So I love that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't just hear, here's a check, we'll pay for your equipment.
Right.
It's, no. Let me come alongside you and help you get to the next level.
That is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful. Well, Missy, we need to take a break, and then we'll get jump right into your book and these principles that I know we want to share with everyone. So we will be right back.